Now we come to the third meaning, or the third aspect of the meaning of the Arya Sangha, or the Sangha or spiritual community. That is to say, the Arya Sangha, which can be translated as the community of the noble or the community of the elect. Evola uses this word elect for Arya. I don't quite like it myself, because for some people it might have a rather snobbish sort of connotation, as they've been elected to something. But of course you get it by your own hard work and efforts. Now this is really the spiritual community proper, with the emphasis on the spiritual. The Arya Sangha consists of those who've reached various levels of spiritual attainment, regardless of whether they're monks or whether they're lay people, men or women. So the Arya Sangha constitutes, as it were, what we may call the spiritual, as distinct from the merely ecclesiastical, hierarchy of Buddhism. Now in the Hinayana, or basic Buddhism, there are four grades in this Arya Sangha, spiritual community, or spiritual hierarchy. There's the stream entrant, there's the once returner, the non-returner, and the holy one. Stream entrant means one who has entered the stream leading to nirvana will have not more than 7 rebirths. The once returner means one who will return just once more to this world, one more life. The non-returner, one who won't return at all, who will be reborn in some higher celestial state of existence and gain nirvana from there. And the holy one is one who in this life itself has gained enlightenment, perfect spiritual freedom. Now, one's position in the Arya Sangha, in the spiritual community or spiritual hierarchy, whether one is a stream entrant or once returned or non-returned or a holy one, arahant, is determined according to the number of fetters which one has broken. There are supposed to be, according to Buddhist teaching, 10 fetters, 10 spiritual fetters which bind one down to conditioned existence, to the wheel of life. I have no time this evening to go into details. I've dealt with this elsewhere on other occasions, but one can say briefly that the stream entrant, the one who enters the stream, breaks 3 fetters. The first one of these is what is called the personality view. He no longer regards himself as a separate person, a separate self, an I distinct from all other I's. He's got rid of that delusion, and also he's broken the fetter of what is called, what is translated as very often, skeptical doubt, vichikicca, but I prefer to interpret it as indecision, in the sense of refusal or failure to commit oneself definitely to the spiritual life. It's having one's reservations about the spiritual life. And then thirdly, the third of these 3 fetters, being attached to ethical rules and religious observances. This is a fetter according to Buddhism. Not just Zen which says these things, don't think that. It's right there in the basic Buddhism from the very beginning. It's the attachment which is wrong. The ethical rules may be very useful, very helpful. The religious observances too, if you grasp at them, if you get attached to them, as ends in themselves, not as means to an end. If you think that man was made for the Sabbath and not the Sabbath for man, then you're immersed in grasping at moral rules and religious observances, and that constitutes a fetter. You should make use of these things and not let them make use of you. In other words, we can say that this represents the fetter of purely conventional morality and religion, which doesn't realize that it's a means to an end and not an end in itself. So these are the 3 fetters which the stream entrant breaks, and he wins enlightenment within 7 lives or 7 rebirths. The once returner weakens 2 more fetters, the non-returner breaks those same 2, and the holy one, the arahant, breaks not only the 5 lower fetters, he breaks the 5 higher fetters too, which are more subtle, and for him there's no rebirth whatsoever. So this is the spiritual community, the Arya Sangha, community of the elect, or the spiritual hierarchy, according to the basic Buddhist teaching. Now, in the Mahayana, in developed Buddhism, the spiritual hierarchy is a little different. The Mahayana accepts the basic Hinayana classification, but it adds the hierarchy of what are called bodhisattvas, those who are bent not on just their own individual emancipation from suffering, but upon enlightenment, full enlightenment, supreme enlightenment, for the benefit of all living beings. So just as there are four grades of Aryas, there are also four grades of Bodhisattvas, according to the number of bhumis, or stages of progress, that they've traversed. First of all, we've got what are called the novice Bodhisattvas, or Adhikarmika Bodhisattvas. They are Bodhisattvas who have accepted this ideal of supreme enlightenment for the benefit of all, but who haven't yet actually set foot upon the path. They've accepted the ideal with all sincerity, but they haven't yet actually achieved the first stage of the path. So they're called novice bodhisattvas, Adhikarmika bodhisattvas. Then there are what we call bodhisattvas of the path, those bodhisattvas who are actually traversing bhumis, or stages of the path, from 1 to 6. They're bodhisattvas of the path. Then, thirdly, irreversible bodhisattvas. They're so-called because they can't slide back. The novice bodhisattvas and the bodhisattvas of the path, they can slide back into the world. But the irreversible bodhisattva, who has gained at least the 7th bhumi out of the 10, he can't slide back, he can't retrogress. Then we've got lastly, fourthly, what are called the bodhisattvas of the Dharmakaya. This is a rather abstruse conception. It really means bodhisattvas in the sense of sort of personalized aspects of Buddhahood itself. Just as white light can be broken up into the 7 colors of the spectrum, the 7 colors of the rainbow, in the same way, the pure white light of enlightenment can be broken up, as it were, into the different colors of different aspects, like love, wisdom, peace, freedom, knowledge, wisdom, and so on. So the bodhisattvas of Dharmakaya represent personalized aspects of enlightenment. If you take the Buddha as a sort of personification of enlightenment itself, well, bodhisattvas of the Dharmakaya represent personifications of individual aspects of that enlightenment. Now, these two hierarchies, that is to say, of the stream entrant, the once returner, the non-returner, and the holy one, and of the four kinds of bodhisattvas, these overlap to some extent. Some Mahayana texts refer to the stream entrants and so on as Hinayana bodhisattvas, and make one continuous series of 8 kinds of bodhisattva, constituting between them the spiritual community, the spiritual hierarchy, the Arya Sangha in the full, basic plus developed Buddhist sense. So such, in brief, is the Sangha, the spiritual community, the third of the three jewels, the third of the three refuges. As we've seen, it's a spiritual community existing at various levels, from the ordinary social, ecclesiastical level, right up to the highest spiritual level. And one takes refuge in, or goes for refuge to, the Sangha by joining it at whatsoever level one can. One can join at the level of the Mahasangha, just by being a member of the Buddhist community in a purely formal external sense. One can join at the level of the Bhikshu Sangha by receiving higher ordination. And one can also join at the level of the Arya Sangha, or Bodhisattva Sangha, by virtue of one's spiritual life, practices, realizations, and attainments. So we've now answered the preliminary question. We've recapitulated, and we've seen what the spiritual community is in Buddhism. It comprises the Mahasangha, the community of all the faithful, as it were, the monastic order, and also the spiritual community of the elect, the spiritual hierarchy, right up to Buddhahood itself.